Hey, hello, everybody. Today is June 16th, Tuesday, and we're doing the show a little later in the day. This has been some week, and on top of that, some day, and I have just had a great deal of difficulty getting everything to work to have the show tonight. So, you know, praise the Lord. He's faithful and he just helps us in our times of struggle and understanding modern technology and computers and the internet and how it all works is beyond me. So I am totally at the mercy of God, and thankfully my son was able to help me. So I think we're live and we're able to get going today. The Lord has put on my heart for the past couple of days about this show, the idea of that he taught us to be holy. And he also spoke to me about our motives in our heart. So I am going to just get going with a quick prayer and then get into the subject. Father, thank you, God, that you are just so kind and so merciful and that you are Father to each of us in every way that we need for you to be in more ways than we even understand. And I just thank you that for today's show and that you are blessing and anointing the word, that you know that my heart is good, Father, that I just want to speak your words that you would desire for us to be spoken between us. And Father, I would lay down all my own motives and purposes and agendas and just turn the show over to you. And I just praise you, God, that you are so awesome. And I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So God's been speaking to me about being holy. And when he first started, I started hearing those whispers in my heart. I was thinking, I know God is holy, but, you know, what does it mean to be holy? And why is God saying to me about being holy? So God has many attributes, and, you know, he's merciful, he's patient, he's long-suffering. He abounds in love. God is love. But there is an attribute of his that is mentioned three times in the Bible, and that is the word holy, holy, holy. And we could assume from that 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 may be God's predominant attribute. But he's not just holy, he is holy, holy, holy. In Jewish liturgy, when something is incredibly important, it is mentioned twice, such as Jesus quite often said the term, verily, verily, I say unto you. And so we know that when he says that, that is something to pay attention to. But the word holy, holy, holy means that it's even more important and significant to us. Isaiah, in his vision of God, he said in Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. Isaiah actually saw a vision of the glory of God, and this smoke was the Shekinah glory of God. In ancient days, the length of a train of a king's robe was measured the greatness of the king. And in this case, God's train fills the whole temple. But each of the seraphim angels had six wings and proclaimed, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory, and indeed it is. So the seraphim, having six wings, the purpose was two of them they flew, with two of them they covered their face, and with the last two they covered their feet. So why did they cover their feet and their face? Because even God's holiness is too great for the angels to look directly at. Remembering that God told Moses that he could not see his face directly or that he was outside. So we know that God is holy, and we understand a little bit about what that holiness means. But he says to us to be ye holy, even as I am. So if he says to us to do that, then he is not asking us to do something or to be something that we cannot be. So it is very possible for us to be holy. So what does being holy mean? And being holy means to be, and the root word for being holy in the Hebrew is kodesh, and it means set apart, separate, sacred. And holy has the idea of heaviness or the weight of glory. In the New Testament, the word for holy is hagios, and it means set apart, reverend, sacred, and worthy of veneration. This word applies to God because God himself is totally separate and set apart from everything that was created. And so if we are to be set apart and to be holy as God asked us to be, I began to think about the question of, because the show is about hearts, so I asked God, like, you know, if you're talking to me about a topic for the show and it means being holy, what does that mean for our hearts? And he shared with me that with our hearts to be holy, it would mean that our motives would be pure. And, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about our motives. Our motives are an underlying reason for our actions. In Proverbs 16:2, the Bible says, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. And God tells us, and we've probably all heard this verse, Jeremiah 17:9, that the human heart is deceitfully wicked. And, you know, so we can easily fool ourselves into thinking we're doing the right things, that, you know, we're great, and, you know, we're just moving forward in the proper manner. But God tells us to take some time and examine ourselves, and that he is going to be examining our motives. That is how we are going to be judged in the end, is he's going to take all those works that we did, all those thoughts that we had, and he's going to burn up anything that wasn't pure, and then he's going to weigh what is left that is pure in us. So it's very important when God speaks to us about being holy to understand that our motives are important to God and the reason that we do things. So our right motivation should be, as 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 4 says, our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. He's interested in our motives even more than our actions. In 1 Corinthians 4, 5, it says, when Jesus comes again, he will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each of us will receive our praise from God, like we were just talking about. And God, he wants us to know that he can see what nobody else can see. And he desires to reward those whose hearts are right towards him. So how can we keep our motives pure was a question I began to think about as I was thinking about this subject. And the way to keep our motives pure is to continually surrender every part of our hearts to the control of the Holy Spirit. This is an interesting topic, speaking about the holiness of God And that he even says to us that he desires for us to be holy, and that he looks at our hearts and he examines them, and he asks for our hearts to be made pure in his sight. So that's what our topic is for tonight. This is Healing Hearts His Way, Blog Talk Radio with Mitzi. I am the host of the show. Generally, we have the show on Tuesdays at 6 p.m., but I'm open for suggestions of times that people would like to have the show come on. You can call the show at this number, 646-787-8522. And tonight, we have a caller at area code 321-418. Hi, this is Mitzi. Hello. Hi, caller.
Hello. Hello.
Hi. Yes,
good
hi.
Evening,
can you
Mitzi.
Hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, is this Kevin?
Yes, it is.
Oh, how are you tonight?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all.
Oh, well, good, good. So did you get a chance to hear? I had so much difficulty with the mechanics of things that I'm running late. So did you get to hear the topic?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I got to hear it really clearly.
Okay. So what do you think about, God tells us to be holy. That seems like a really big task, doesn't it?
Well, it is. But, God also gave us rules that we should live by. And in Romans 12:9, it states that be sincere in your love for others. That's one of the ways you can check yourself and your motives to see if they're pure. Understanding what God's definition of love is. And 1 Corinthians 13, 13:6 tells us that love rejoices in truth, but not evil. Love is always supportive, loyal, hopeful, and trusting. With rules like that, it's pretty clear that when you begin to do things for God and have a pure motive, you're using that as a basis of it, that you're not doing it for a personal gain. You're not doing it for the spotlight. You're doing it because you have a genuine love for your neighbor.
That's exactly right. But a lot of times, we can't really judge a person's heart. Only God can. So even though that's why I think it's really important that we don't compare ourselves to one another. Because somebody can look like they're doing all the right things, can be saying all the right words, but their heart could be doing it for reasons that we don't see and only God can understand. So it's really important that we live our life according to, like you're saying, the laws, the ways that God set out for us, instead of comparing ourselves with each other and what each other is doing.
Correct. I firmly believe in that, because when you set a standard of what someone else is doing and you don't measure up to that, it does something to your self-esteem, and that's not what God intended for us. It's impossible to measure up to someone else, because what may be laid out for them, what may be their path, may not be the path that was designed for you. And trying to mimic it or identify with it is just futile. It's something that you just really shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm. And I was noticing something I'm sure I've read this, but while I was preparing and thinking about the subject, in James 4, verse 3, it says that when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. And I'm sure I've read that, but today it hit me in a whole new way, and I was thinking, when we have a selfish motive, it can totally hinder our prayers, and that's you know, important too to understand that the wrong motives can affect a lot of things in our relationship with God.
That is absolutely true. When your heart is not set on the things of God, and you set out to, quote unquote, try to do things in the name of God, it will turn out wrong, because when your heart is not set on the things of God, you begin to live in the realm of your feelings, your emotions, the environment, and that always sets you up for an ultimate failure. And as I said before, I believe that, you know, God has given us rules that we're supposed to be bound to, that when we follow those rules, our hearts begin to line up with Him. And so then your motives will be pure, clear, truthful, and honest.
So we become set apart when God talks to us about being holy, and He's saying that I'm setting you apart from the world and sanctifying you. Then I think he is. Do you think he's saying that? I know he's like separating, telling us to separate our lives from sin, and you know it doesn't really mean like don't communicate with people, but just separating ourselves by being different, and so that we can serve him and be his servants on this earth. Is that how you see that?
Yeah, that's exactly how I see it.
When he talks to us about being holy, I'm trying to kind of wrap my mind around that.
Well, I mean, I agree with you. I believe he's saying that he's setting us apart so that we can align ourselves with him, so that we can be the light of the world, and that we can be that beacon in the world that people want to aspire to be, that when we're walking in the Word of God and aligning our hearts with Him, that we will demonstrate all of His glory, His love, His compassion, His understanding. And by separating us from that, that's what has to be done, because we both know that we live in a world now that is truly fallen. There are things that are going on now that are just really impossible to believe, but the scripture tells us that these days were coming. And mm-hmm. Yes, we do as a church have to be separated from the world in order to be the law, the light, the salt that saves souls. So I'm in a total agreement with you with that.
So you were saying, like, when your heart is set on the things of God, you know, you're going to walk in the way that he asks us to walk in. So what do you think it is that gets people off course? You know, I think a lot of Christians start out and they're, you know, charging forward. I'm certain every single one with the intent on pleasing God and doing the right thing. So what do you think happens that that gets people's heart off of the things of God?
Well, as I stated, we live in a fallen world, and there are so many things in this world that can lead us astray. And because of our belief that it's so hard, that we're not willing to stay the path, because there's so many things pulling at us in different directions. Then there's, you know, some issues with the church not being more Christ-like. It's, you know, you have people that say they're Christians, but they don't have a lot of Christ in them. It's all either a title or some other ulterior motive. And as I said before, you know, we need guidance and we need leadership. We need true Christ-like people to show us that even though sometimes things can happen, even though some things may go bad, that we must stay the course, and that no matter what, we have to be the ones that walk this light. But again, that's not what's really happening now. It's people are getting pulled in so many directions with so many things that are distracting the media, magazines, the internet, and they're being drawn away because, you know, these outlets feed into their emotions, their feelings, and that's what the world is doing. It's all about feelings now. No one wants to do anything hard anymore because it takes too long. And we both know that the walk with Christ is a walk that's you have to walk it for the rest of your life. And you have to, yes, mm-hmm. It rains on bad people just like it rains on good people. Bad things happen to good people. And a lot of believers, I sometimes get the feeling that a lot of people believe that God is Santa Claus sitting up in a chair just granting wishes. And they don't understand mm-hmm. that sometimes he allows things to happen to us to reveal something else, to reveal something about our personality, to reveal something about our destiny, to reveal something positive about our life. It's not always that, you know, like the atheists believe that he's a mean God and that, you know, the things that he does are just cruel. There's a reason behind everything he does, and that reason was the reason that he sent Christ, and that was love. And that's where our motive has to be. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I know I threw a lot of questions at you, and I really appreciate you just back and forth with me. I like to brainstorm, and okay. I ponder the Word of God 24/7. I think I be in my sleep. God says that He tells us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him, which is our reasonable service. And so He's telling us, you know, if you're going to be holy and let me pull you out of the world because it's your free will, if you're going to do that, then I'm just going to ask you to present your body as a living sacrifice. And he says, don't be conformed to this world, which was exactly what you're talking about, because it is the easiest thing to be conformed to this world because we are being pulled so strongly by more things than ever. And God knows this. So he's going to come in with grace and help us to resist those things and to give us the control and strength that we don't have. But then what I wanted to mention is he tells us by being transformed by the renewing of your mind, you can prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And so I think that it's really important, and something that I just feel like we can't do enough of is just reading the Word and washing our minds and being transformed by the Word of God really makes a big difference for us to be able to keep our hearts set on His things also.
Correct. You are absolutely right with that, because if we constantly read the Word, especially with, like I said before, with the saturation of media and all these things that are accessible now that can corrupt you, we have to guard our mind against all this stuff. And the best way to do that is to keep your mind and keep your eyes on the Word, because there are just too many outlets that are just deceiving and displaying untruths and leading so many people away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's we do live in a very difficult time, but I just keep getting excited thinking God picked us for this time, and you know, as he says, we were chosen for a time such as this. And it just makes me, when I start to feel a little discouraged, I say, but he knew this would be my very best time. And I start getting excited, you know, just thinking of it that way. And picturing myself with some armor and a shield and a sword. So, gosh, I really appreciate you calling in. And is there anything else? I mean, would you like to add anything to this?
No, not right now. I mean, we pretty much, I believe that I covered most of the stuff that I believe about this. And, you know, I firmly believe that, like you said, you know, for an end note for me, that we need to keep our heads in the Word and study and learn these things, especially love. We need to really understand what that is and how God sees it so that we can share it, so that we can receive it. Because in this day and age, there are so many different secular meanings of love that I honestly believe that we've lost the true meaning of what love is. And that's what we really need to get back to, because it's what God really intended for everything. So with that, you know, I'd like to thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak.
Well, you are welcome, and I appreciate it. And absolutely, love is where it's all going to end, because he tells us all the gifts, and he says that, you know, faith, hope, and love, and of the greatest, and the one that will remain is love. And that should be our ultimate goal. So thanks, Kevin. I appreciate you calling.
No problem, Mitzi. Thank you for allowing me to speak with you.
All right. Well, have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
So I just appreciate everybody listening. We're having just a storm outside, and the weather is a bit crazy, and I could hear some clicking sounds on my end, so I don't know how it's going on your end as listeners, but I appreciate you hanging in there. And this topic tonight, I don't know, maybe it was just a little deep for me, but God was, he seemed like it was, you know, he was pressing it on my mind that he wanted to talk to us about, he does want us to be holy. He does want us to reach for and obtain the higher things that he is offering to us. And he wants us to be like him, just like as a parent with our children, we want our children to be like us. And some ways, absolutely. You know, it's just adorable when people say, oh, look, they're doing that just like their mommy or daddy. We enjoy that. And I think God looks at us as his children with that same kind of feeling. And God's holy. He is set apart. And he loves us so much that he calls us his sons and his daughters. And he has said we are already seated with him in heavenly places. We are hidden in Christ. And Christ is in us, and just this is all just so amazing, and we absolutely can be holy. And so if you have any doubts, and my mind likes to search all things out, I thought about King David, and he is who God used as an example, and he said that, you know, in 1 Samuel, when he was choosing David to be the king, the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And we know that David, you know, he committed adultery, he murdered Bathsheba's husband, and God put that in his word for each of us to be able to understand that even though we're human and we're made of the dust of the earth, we can say we're sorry to God, we can repent, we can change, and God gives us the ability to do that, and then he forgives us completely and he restores us. And, you know, without God's word, there would be no way to know if David's motive was right in his repentance, whether he was really, truly sorry or that his heart was right with God. But from God's word, we know that he did repent and that he had a broken and a contrite heart before God. And God honors that. He says to us in Isaiah that Yep. I'm going to forget what I was going to say on that verse because I would like to find it before I mention it. But he tells us that that he loves it when a man will humble himself and that he will recognize that God has to step in and give us grace and be God and forgive. And the only man on earth to ever truly know the motives and hearts of men was Jesus. During his earthly ministry, he addressed the motives of men and he recorded it because he wanted to instruct us about the motives of hearts, and that was with the Pharisees. And they were the religious leaders of the nation of Israel when Jesus was on earth, and they were recognized as the religious leaders, and they were looked up to very highly because they knew the scriptures. And but they were no different than any other people that have lived throughout history or that are on the earth today. And many of them appeared to do good in their actions, but their motives were evil. And Jesus revealed that the motives of the Pharisees were based sometimes upon vice and not virtue. And he called them hypocrites. And he says in Matthew 23, verse 25, that they appeared righteous unto men, but they were full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And so God, you know, he wants us to consider seriously the motives of our heart. And the dictionary tells us that the definition of the word motive is as a need or a desire that causes a person to act. So, you know, a lot of times when we think of the motive immediately, we think of, you know, what was the motive for that crime? Because we hear that constantly in the media. What was their motive for doing something wicked? But also, we can witness people doing good works, and we can think of their motives as being good, and those are based on virtue. And virtue is conformity to a standard of right or morality. And there's absolutely no doubt that so many things are done out of virtuous motives. And so I guess, in the end, we're responsible for our own motives, just as we are for our own actions. And the Lord says to us that to judge ourselves, to examine ourselves, and that He enjoys when we do this. He says, in regard to the communion we have with Jesus, the Apostle Paul says, but let every man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And he also teaches, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate? So the word reprobate in the Greek means unapproved, implying to be rejected. So we can all fool ourselves or other people, but we can't fool God. And God is you know, he just sees everything, and if we are to be transparent and just holy and glorious to him. You know, God who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So I would just like to encourage everyone to, I don't know, this felt like a little bit of a heavy topic for me, because I really enjoy reaching out to the broken and the hurt, and lifting and encouraging. And that God placed it so strongly on my heart that I wanted to please Him and talk about that we can be holy and that he has asked us to be holy in the Old Testament and in the New, and that it just means that we're setting ourselves apart for his service, which I think probably anybody listening to this recording would say, yes, I have made that choice to set myself apart and to be used by God. And then he wants us to go that step more and to examine our beautiful heart and to just allow him to shine out of our hearts and to be a light into this world. So much so that he said he would, the kings would even come and search you out and ask you how your light shines so brightly. So I would just like to encourage everybody to know that God loves you so deeply, and he has made you in his image, and he has given each of us the ability to be holy. And I just thank each of you for listening to Healing Hearts His Way, and I appreciate it. And you can catch us again next Tuesday at 6 p.m., and we'll be talking about topics that apply to our hearts. So have a great Tuesday, and I thank everybody.